listeners. Good morning. It's me, Enjoy. How are you doing? So, I meant to record yesterday, which was Monday. Actually, I meant to record probably last week. I have my notes ready. I'm Enjoy. You're listening to Enjoy the Balance of Your Day. I'm in the car studio, and I wanted to talk about compromise versus change. And I wanted to discuss this because I was in a conversation the other day, and the conversation wasn't really going my way. It wasn't going the other person's way either. And I was ready to give in to the argument by offering to change my view. And then I remembered that in the past, there had been times where I offered to change, and it never really worked because I would change, but the change wouldn't really be me. And then I would turn into a person that was just not me. And, you know, you want to be who you are. So it caused me to think and wonder if in relationships and in friendships, if you want to change or you want to compromise. And then that led me on this whole big Google deep dive over what's the difference. So, of course, being the educator I am, I looked up both meanings. So compromise is an agreement or a settlement of a dispute that is reached by each side making concessions. So when you compromise, you come to an agreement, but each side has to give a little. So it's not, okay, I'll give you a perfect example from my past. I dated my first girlfriend, who I'm still very friendly with, and there's no hard feelings anymore. She was a big fan, or is a big fan, of Biggie Smalls. And when I met her, I knew who he was, but I'm not going to say I was a big fan. I knew who he was. But part of the dating dance was me deciding that since she was a big fan, I should be a big fan. So I decided that I was going to learn lots of lyrics, and I did, and I got pretty good at them. Not to the point that I was spitting like him, because, I mean, be real. But I learned lyrics, and I appeared to be a great big fan. Was I a great big fan? No. I mean, I liked the music a lot, but it was just not me. So that was a change. I decided to change the music that I liked at that moment to suit what she liked. And although it was a decent change because it opened a window to other music that I would have probably missed had I not done that, that's just an example. So that's a change. A compromise would have been, she liked Biggie, I liked Prince. We could have both picked up on each other's music and then opened the door to us both learning about each other and broadening our taste in music. That would have been a compromise. So now a change is when you make someone or something different, alter, or modify. Now, like I said, with a compromise, you want to meet each other halfway. But then, when I read further, sometimes when you compromise, you accept standards that are lower than desirable. So then that made compromise seem not great. Because if you're accepting something less than desirable, is that a good thing? Because why would you do that? So then I'm thinking, change and compromise can't be a good thing, because why would you accept something less? So this set me on a whole deep Google dive. And then I started to consider, if you're really looking to be into a friendship or a relationship with somebody, you have to accept the good and the bad, the dark and the inky parts of them. Because I know the person I am. If somebody wants to be around me and spend time with me, they're going to have to accept all of this. And I am not an easy person to deal with. So that just, I don't know. I think it's, I mean, you know how I feel about words. Words mean things. It's not just semantics. As much as I like to say that to people, oh, it's just semantics. What are you talking about? It's not just semantics. Words mean things. Then I have another note. Compromise helps resolve conflicts. but it really makes me wonder, does it resolve conflicts or does it just smooth things over? Because if you're smoothing things over, are you really resolving them? Life is not cake. I mean, if you're frosting a cake and you see that the frosting is not great on one side, yeah, you can smooth it over and it looks good. And it'll still taste fine, even if it's a little on the lumpy side. But if you smooth it over, it'll look good. But that's not how life works. Just because something appears like it's looking good doesn't mean it's good. So is compromise really resolving conflicts? Or is it just giving each party what they want at that moment and giving you less reason to fuss over something? If you look at children, the way they resolve conflicts, the way that we teach them how to resolve conflicts is we teach them to share. And if you go deeper than that, if you go beyond the sharing, we teach children how to accept defeat. And by accept defeat, I mean how to be fair in winning and fair in losing. We teach them to understand that sometimes things are not going to go their way, and that they can't expect everything to be on their side. I remember at a children's birthday party. I don't remember. I don't remember the story clearly. I don't know if it was my child or somebody else's child, but a child was upset because she or he, it was not their party. They were at somebody else's party and they were upset because they wanted the party child's gifts and the parent of the birthday child said something along the lines of, "No, this is not your party. You can't have that." And you could see the parent of the other child look hurt for a moment that their child couldn't have whatever they wanted. And that makes me think that that child was raised in a, or at least in that moment, didn't understand how to accept that everything wasn't for them at every moment in time. That's not a child that's learning to compromise. But then you hear messages, don't settle for less. Less than what? Less than you? I don't know. Very confusing. We receive a lot of confusing messages. Unless it's just based on the person you are. Maybe you don't want to settle for less in your friendships and relationships and your job and the way you raise your children and the way that you are. I mean, if you look at my siblings, there's a lot of us, but let's just go by the four. So there's myself, I'm the eldest, and then I have my sister who's next, my brother, and then our youngest sister. We're all very different, but all very much the same. We all have different desires and different standards that we set for ourselves. If you were to take our four homes and line them up, you could walk into each home blindfolded and know just by the smell, just by the feel when you walk in the house, you'll know whose house is which. I mean, I would definitely. I would know my sister Vina's house immediately because it would feel very sterile and clean, like super clean. Nothing would feel out of the way. I would definitely not trip over a shoe. I would know her house immediately. I would know my sister Frances's house because it would feel very warm and inviting. And if I close my eyes, I feel like I would smell. What would I smell in my sister's house? I don't know. I don't know. It's giving protein shake. I don't know. Something very clean. Or maybe man. Maybe I would smell very slight man. Like a man just walked through. I'm not really sure. But I would know the smell of her house. My brother's house. His house is probably the house I've been to the least. So since I would not recognize the smell, that's how I would know his house. And unfortunately, my house, I would know because it's mine, but sad to say, probably cat litter would be the first thing I would smell. Maybe not cat litter right off, But definitely, I would know there is an animal somewhere in this house somewhere. And I'm not saying that because I keep a messy house. I'm just saying there are animals in there. I read somewhere once, if you can walk into somebody's house and they have animals and you not know, you know that they keep a clean house. Oh well, perhaps I'm not that person. Anyhow, I don't know. I have been feeling gray lately. There's a cartoon. Oh, what is that car? Oh, the Proud Family. I think in the Proud Family, they have some sib a set of siblings. There might be three of them, and they're just bad kids. And they just walk around and they're always gray or like a slight purple color. Everybody in the Proud Family in the cartoon, they're all in color, various colors, right? But these kids are like gray or like a grayish purple, and they're always up to no good. I've been feeling a little gray lately, and it's not your fault. And I wasn't going to podcast, but Amanda from, wow, look at me, from Little Miss Recap, she posted a while back on Facebook, "What is your light?" And it got me thinking, like, what is my light? Like, I really enjoy work a lot, probably because I enjoy the routine. If given the choice, I'd probably spend more time at work than I should. If I weren't married and had a home and responsibilities, I'd probably be at work a lot more hours. I like the feeling of getting things done and checking things off my list. And work gives me a place where I can forget real life, because work is not real life. Work is just to fund the real life. But she asked what our light was, and I could not really figure out mine. I do spend a lot of time online. I do spend a lot of time listening to podcasts. I do spend a lot of time preparing a podcast in my mind. And then when I get to speak to you, I run out of things to say because I've had so many conversations in my head. I'm trying to be better about that. So I was thinking maybe podcasting is my light. And if in fact it is my light, I need to light it and spend more time doing it. And I've said this before. But like I just said, I've been feeling gray. And what I mean by gray is I feel like everything around me is in color and I am truly gray. But I don't want you to look at it like I mean to say that I'm depressed. I know what depression feels like and looks like. I've done the reading. I grew up in a family of depression. My mother suffers from depression. I'm sure my grandmothers, I'm sure all the women in my family, whether the elders or the ones younger than me or the ones my same age, I'm sure everybody's running around with some sort of cloud above them because we've always been the backbone of the family, the woman of my family, and it's a lot of work and it's freaking exhausting and the work never ends. So I'm sure there's just a cloud of depression over all of us. And it just depends on how we each work it out or compromise with the depression. But I feel like mine, like the gray, I think what's hopeful about it is it's kind of like scratching a lottery ticket. So you know how you buy a lottery ticket and it's gray before you scratch it, and then when you scratch it off, there's maybe winning numbers under it or maybe not. I think I just need somebody to scratch my lottery ticket and see what's below it. I don't know if I gotta scratch it myself. Maybe I have to go rub up against the house. I don't know. Or somebody has to come along and scratch it. But I'm definitely gray, guys, and I am at a loss as to what to do about it. You know, I do things, I garden, I read. I try not to get trapped in my thoughts, but unfortunately, nobody seems to get me as much as I get myself, and I'm spending all this time getting myself by talking to myself and thinking. And if I get my thoughts out, perhaps I would actually figure something out. And I don't know where to go with that. And yet again, I'm talking in circles. And that is not going to do great for listenership. I don't know if that's a real word, but I'm an English teacher, so we're going to go with it. Speaking of English teacher, I don't know if I told you, but I did finish my certificate and bust out that little 13 module course in one ADHD night. I just did the whole course. I had to do 13 modules and I was up to module 4 and I was like, I might as well finish this. So that's done. So I get to be an underpaid teacher till 2029. I'll have to pay $75 then or more with inflation, who knows? $75 then and take another course to continue being a teacher. So go me. So that's finished. Probably the only listener I have at this point is Betty, which is fine. Hey, Betty, I love her very much. I can handle that. She too is somebody who I think might understand me or want to understand me. I mean, she could holler at me because I sure don't get it. So yes, great it is. And then I sit here with this notebook and I jot down on top compromise versus change, figure it out. And I do this deep dive and I figure out where I sit in this, like in these pages of this notebook, where do I fit? Am I somebody who changes or somebody who compromises? I would like to say I'm somebody very black or white. It's either all of this or all of that, but that's not true because I struggle to make a decision. So there's no way someone can say I'm black or white. I can't be because I'm always in between decisions. Like maybe that's why I'm so gray because I'm always in the gray area. That's not great. I don't know what I'm going to do. But to update you on things that we've talked about before, now I'm still on this patch. I'm supposed to take my blood pressure today, but I couldn't find the cuff. So that's not going to happen. I'm going to say my blood pressure is fine. I feel fine. I don't know if that's an accurate read of blood pressure. I suppose I can just Google healthy blood pressure for a woman of my age and just report back to the online doctors that that's my blood pressure. Who's going to check me? It's not like they can tell by what I text what my blood pressure really is and that I'll get them off my back. The patch is supposed to do a bunch of things. I don't know if it's supposed to do something for the grayness. I imagine so. It would be nice if it can get rid of this pregnant stomach that I have because I've been carrying this, I don't know, 4 month pregnancy for 2 years now, 4 or 5 month pregnancy for 2 years, and there's no baby. So that's kind of a killjoy at this point. I was feeling a way because I'm getting all these Facebook ads about all these, menopausal women complaining about running around looking pregnant. And then I realized, duh, of course I am, because that's all I'm reading about. So of course my Facebook is going to be flooded with all these ads of women just like me. Of course they're all menopausal because that's all I'm reading about. I'm just an algorithm. I'm not, special or anything like that. There are plenty of women who manage to get through menopause, not struggling like me. I want to know what they're doing, what makes them different. And I would like to know that they're doing it without, Sanibelo or shots or things like that. I want to know what healthy things they are doing that I could do. I was thinking, because I watch 600 Pound Life, and Dr. Now is always telling these people, if you would have done my diet, you would have lost 50 pounds in a month by now. So now, of course, they are way ahead of me. They're like at 600, 700 pounds. I'm not even 300 pounds. But I know that he has a book. And I was thinking one crazy night, if I follow Dr. Now's diet, if these guys following his diet for 1 month, and I've seen their diet, it's like salad, which I'm already eating and working out. And their workout is just moving their arms while they're sitting on the edge of their bed. If that diet, I feel like his diet must be kind of like there used to be a diet in the 80s that you would do if you were like getting ready for like a heart transplant or some shit like that. If his diet is like that, and they can lose all those pounds in that month, I should be able to do the same thing. And yes, I know everybody's not the same, and yes, I know that's television and yada yada, but there's no reason why I can't look into it. I've looked into everything else. I mean, if we tick off all the diets, and yes, I know it's not a diet, it's a life change, whatever the case may be. I've done Weight Watchers, I've done keto, I've done pills, I've got the patch on now. What else have I done? Intermittent fasting. I'm doing that right now. I've done so many different things. Some things have worked, some things have not. My struggle is to find something that I'm willing to live with because, yes, it's a lifestyle change. If I can just knock off 40, 50 pounds and get me back in a place that I can work with, because I'm doing the walking. I'm like at 3 miles a day at this point. What's it doing? Nothing. If anything, it's just firming up my stomach. Yeah, I mean, a stomach being a muscle is one thing, but it should not be a round muscle. Oh, we're supposed to be heading to work. It is 7:20. Where is my wife? Inside the house. We'll get there when we get there, I suppose. Jeez. All right. I did not get anywhere with the change versus compromise. If you know anything about change versus compromise that can get me to a final statement, it would be great. I'm thinking in a friendship and in a relationship, it's normal to change if it's a positive change. If you get involved with somebody and you're making a positive change to benefit you and that person, if you're changing and it's benefiting both people, both or the group, it's a good thing. But if you're changing to be someone you're not, it's not a good thing. If you're both compromising to meet somewhere in the middle, it's a good thing. But if that compromise means you're accepting standards that are lower than desirable, then that's a bad thing, I suppose. I think at the end of the day, everybody should just settle down and be a crazy cat lady because your animals don't judge you. As long as there's food somewhere in the house and you change the litter box before the flies get there, I think your animals are a judge-free zone. I think that's your safest bet. Oh my God, we're gonna be late for work. Or maybe not. I mean, it's not like we're gonna get fired at this rate. Not at this time of the year. Not like that's, the test for getting to work on time. I do prefer to get to work on time. I don't sit here saying it's not like they're gonna fire me because that's not who I am. Oh my God, who am I? Mary Payne? I just yawned on air. I'm sorry, friends. I'm going to consider a happier topic next week. Again, I'm not depressed. Do not send the people looking for me. Do not score my Facebook or my Instagram for too many insider messages. I am fine. I am just gray. I've got to scratch this off and keep moving. This is the way that I was raised. This is how I sort things out. I talk them over. Perhaps I need to talk to a professional. I don't know. Right now, you're the professional. Welcome to the talk. Maybe I should have scooted the car seat back. Maybe you should have had a notepad out. If you did collect some important notes and you have a diagnosis or something for me, let me know. Leave me a message or something. Send me an inbox. Do not go on my Facebook page and diagnose me with something, please. I don't need that action in my life. I just redid my certificate. I don't need any bullshit at this moment in time. Thank you very much. Thank you for listening. I'm enjoy. This is enjoy the balance of your day. We're not even 25 minutes in, and I'm already looking at the door. It's chilly out here. I will talk to you later. Have a wonderful week. Watch good television. All our shows are back. Love After Lockup is really, really good. I don't know if it's Love After, Love During, Love Before, Love at the Time, but it's really, really good. Please watch. Keisha's back. Libra Lounge with Keisha. She's back with Mary Payne covering Love After Lockup. And my wife needs to know where her wallet is. I need to text her and let her know I know it's here. All right. Take care, guys. I'll talk to you later.